Well, this morning we are going to finish our series that we've been walking together, looking at what it means to take the love of Jesus Christ and to put it into action. Obviously, that's more than just a four-week series, but looking particularly at how we respond to this good news of Christmas morning, this good news that the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And what does that mean for us as we take that good news and we put it into practice? So we're going to be looking together at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, and we'll read that together. There we read, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So we're asking ourselves this morning, what happens when we put that love of Jesus Christ into action? What are some of the ways that we can tell that that love is having an impact in the world around us? So when we start in Acts chapter 2, 42, we read, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer." See, I think when we look at Acts 2:42, what we see here is in many ways a working definition of the heart of the church. See, the church isn't primarily about our institutions. The church isn't primarily about our buildings. The church isn't primarily about budgets and councils. The church isn't primarily about the order in which we do things. But it's a body. A body of people who come together to study God's word. A body of people who come together to do life together, to pray with each other, to support each other, to worship with each other, and to celebrate that story of the God whose body was broken for us. And I think sometimes we have a tendency to take church and to make it too complicated. Right, there's this concern right now about the millennials and the rise of the spiritual but not religious and the none of the aboves, right? The nuns, right? That there's this concern of they're leaving the church. But I think that's in part because we've defined the church so closely with institutional structures. We've defined the church by our set of beliefs instead of our actions. We've defined the church by our structures instead of our love. We've defined the church by our rules and our membership rosters instead of by the organic relationships that develop amongst us. What we see in Acts 2, 42 through 47 is a picture of the church that isn't about its structures, but is about doing life together, being the church. And what we see in the rest of this passage is what happens when we do and be church together. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, because what happens when we begin to put the love of Jesus Christ into action is that people pay attention because they see God working in and through us. When we put the love of Jesus Christ into action, the hope and the prayer of the church is that people don't see us, but they see the God working through us. I love that in Susan's report of the work of Hope Unexpected. It's not just about the stories of these women. It's not just about the food that's given out and the cars that are repaired, but it's what God is doing in and through Hope Unexpected. when we put the love of Jesus Christ into tangible, concrete action. It turns the focus away from us, away from our structures, away from having the right set of statements of belief, and it turns it instead towards the God who is working in and through us. Everyone was filled with awe and wonder at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. Now, in many ways, this feels like a utopian vision. It feels impossible, this picture of the church in verses 44 and 45. And in many ways, it is. We're going to find out awfully quickly if we keep reading beyond this story of the church in Acts chapter 2. We're going to figure out that the earliest church also had its problems. The earliest church was also composed of forgiven sinners, amongst whom sometimes life was not always picture perfect and rosy. And yet, the picture that we see of the church in Acts chapter 2 is that when we put the love of Jesus Christ into action, people step up to take care of each other. It's what Brian has already witnessed to this morning. That they can sleep because they know that other people are losing sleep on their behalf. Putting the love of Jesus Christ into action means that we take care of each other. How do we tell that our love is not just abstract? Are we supporting each other? Are we helping each other? Are we coming alongside of each other? Because every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And I was caught this week as I prepared this message, I was caught by that last phrase, enjoying the favor of all the people. It strikes me that in the Gospels, if we go through the teachings of Jesus and the words of Jesus, his harshest criticisms were typically reserved for those who thought they had all the answers. Jesus' harshest criticism was generally directed at those who thought themselves the most religious. And instead, Jesus spent much of his time, with the so-called sinners, enjoying the favor of all the people. I've been told that in West End's history, there was a sermon about two and a half years ago by a guest pastor in the middle of the transition who challenged West End to ask, if this building burned down and the church went away, who would notice? Would anybody care? That's the heart of this picture of the love of Jesus Christ put into action, is that people should know that we're here. We should be making a difference in the community such that if we were not here, people would miss us. And not just the already religious, not just those who already think they have it figured out, not just those who already have put their faith in Jesus Christ, but those who have not yet heard the good news of Jesus, those who have not yet welcomed Jesus Christ as their Savior, those who have not yet accepted the love of Jesus Christ. Should look on us with favor and say, God is doing something through that church. And you know what? We see that, though. We see it when people walk away from a West End Wednesday dinner, and as they're leaving, they say, hey, I'm about to move to Tennessee, but can I have your business card? Because I want to send you guys a thank you after I get to Tennessee. Or people who come and who help serve food at our mobile food pantry on Wednesday night, who say, hey, I want to stay. I want to help serve. You guys have blessed me. Now I want to help bless somebody else. We hear it in teachers from Shawmut Hills Elementary School who say to us things like, you have no idea the difference you are making in the lives of these students. We hear it when people walk away from worship here at West End and say, I was so blessed and encouraged by that worship service. How do we know that we're putting the love of Jesus Christ into action? Are we hearing people say, I'm glad you're here? And as they enjoy the favor of all the people, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, sometimes when I'm preparing a message, right, sometimes the message comes easy. I sort of immediately know what it is that God has laid on my heart, and it's just really clear, and the words just sort of flow out. Sometimes it's harder. Sometimes I think I know what I'm going to say. I think I know what I'm going to wrestle with, and then God just sort of, I'm going to call it writer's block. God just sort of keeps me from pursuing that until I figure out that God has a different direction for me to go, and that was this week. Because this week I thought I had a set of questions that I was going to address this morning. I thought I had some interesting avenues to look at the passage, but God really stopped me on this verse, and particularly on the word number. See, I've known churches who put too much emphasis on numbers, right? I once interviewed to be a pastor of young adults at this big, big church, and I'm sitting there in an interview with the senior pastor. His bodyguards are outside the door, and sitting there in the interview, he says, you know, we're going to be tracking your Facebook numbers, the number of people on your email list, the number of people who come to your events. If you get this job, we're going to be watching those numbers, and that's going to be the metric that we're going to use to determine whether or not you're being successful. Okay, I didn't get the job, and I'm actually pretty glad I didn't, truth be told. But I've also known churches who go too far the other extreme, right? That we don't like to think about numbers at all, and so we just sort of turn a blind eye to numbers and don't pay attention to them at all until, frankly, it's too late. And the one number we pay attention to is that there's not enough money because we haven't been watching them. Because I think sometimes numbers can tell us some interesting stories. Numbers can tell us some amazing things about what God is doing in and through us. And so this morning I want to do something just a little bit different. And if West End is not the church that you regularly worship at, I promise you that not every service is like this, not every sermon is like this. This one's a little different. But I want to take some time, and I just want to look at some numbers and some stories that those numbers tell this morning. And I want to be totally upfront that with numbers, some of these are for fun. Some of them I hope we maybe even laugh at a little bit. Some of them are challenging. And I hope that we're challenged by them. And some of them are amazing. And I hope that if you find those numbers amazing, that you feel free to clap, to cheer, to whatever, to whoop, to holler, because there are things that we should celebrate, and we're not celebrating us. We're not sitting here praising and clapping and cheering because we're so awesome. We are praising and clapping and cheering because God is awesome. So I want to start with the number 50, because 50 is an interesting number. We're going to start with the number approximately 50. Because it turns out that approximately 50 is a good number for the number of children ages 7 and under who are involved in our children's ministries on any given Sunday. It's birth to age 7. 50 kids every single week who are hearing the love of Jesus Christ, who are seeing the love of Jesus Christ put into action by a caretaker in the nursery who picks them up and holds them and plays with them. 50 kids who are seeing the love of Jesus Christ put into action by a leader who does a craft with them. 50 kids who are seeing the love of Jesus Christ put into action week after week after week by an amazing team of people who are committed to putting that love into action. And by the way, that number 50 also is a good stand-in for the approximate number of volunteers it would take for every single one of those people who serves on that children's ministry team to only have to serve about once every 6 weeks. Because when you take the number of people it takes to watch the check-in station, to have people watching the infants and the toddlers, the threes and fours, the fives and sevens, it takes about 50 people if we want to give those volunteers a break. So if you're not one of those 50, maybe this is a number that challenges you. 50 also works nicely as an approximate number of the number of girls in our GEMS program on Wednesday night. 50, maybe even up to 60, right, Deb? 50 to 60 girls coming and hearing the love of Jesus Christ, and it happens that of those 50, about 50% don't come from our church. Yeah. Friends, God is giving us the opportunity to show the love of Jesus Christ, to put the love of Jesus Christ in action, and to share that love with girls who have never heard it and boys who have never heard it through our cadets ministry. And by the way, that 50% also is the number of kids in our high school youth group who don't have a church home, who are hearing the love of Jesus Christ and who keep showing up because they say, you know what, I'm not sure what I believe, but I like coming here. Because God is giving us the opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ, to put that love into action, and to reach people from our community who need to know the gospel. Well, if we take off that percentage sign and put a 5 in front of it, 550. 550 is the number of pounds of mushrooms that came on the last Feeding America truck. Now, truth be told, we didn't get rid of all of the mushrooms. Although, we were sitting down for coffee the next day, and somebody walked into the office, and Sue Melama said, "Do you want some mushrooms?" And we all laughed at a slight accident there. But if we take off that zero off of 550, up until this past week, Wednesday, 55 was the highest number of people we had ever come for our Feeding America mobile food pantry. 55 was our high, the number of family units coming through our Feeding America mobile food pantry. But if you take that 55 and you multiply it by 45%, you get to 80. Which as of this past Wednesday is the new highest number of family units who have come through and received a bag of groceries, a box of groceries, through the Feeding America mobile food pantry. But what that means is that because of what God is doing through this church, that means that this week 80 families have groceries in their pantry. This means that this week 80 families have food to put on the table who maybe didn't have food to put on the table. This means that this week there are 80 families who had one less decision to make about how to try to make ends meet on a limited budget. And by the way, of those 80 families, if you look through the roster where people signed in, the most common zip codes, for that, those 80 families, 5,800 oranges went to those 80 families. 1,100 pounds of oranges, approximately 5 ounces per orange. 5,800 oranges, that's an awful lot of oranges, which is awesome. But the most common zip codes, 49504 and 49534. Friends, we're not looking at a problem somewhere else. We are talking about needs right here in our backyard, right here in our own community. Families who live down the street from you, families who go to school with your kids. The need is right here. And God is inviting us to respond to that need and to provide for that need. Now, as we think about providing for those needs, one of the things that's an interesting thing that happened this month, right? Usually, so West End's leadership meetings, right, our ad board and our council, they're usually the second and fourth weeks of the month. West End Wednesday, the first and third. Well, it happened that this month had both the second Monday and the third Wednesday. So I had the opportunity to go both to ad board and West End Wednesday. But because of that, God put some pretty cool stories together this week. If we take off that 495, we get a number that Scott DeKreiger, our treasurer, shared with us, which was $34,991. And $34,991 is the amount as of the halfway point in the fiscal year that we are ahead of budget so far. Now, there's right, some fluctuation in that number, right, when you take into account payroll and how it all works out, right, that number changes between meetings. But what happens when we are ahead of budget is that we can exist with an attitude of abundance, an attitude that looks beyond ourselves and says, how can we continue to step out in faith and respond to the opportunities that God is putting in front of us? It allows us to look and to say, what do we need to do to our facility to make it as welcoming and embracing as possible to somebody who walks through here for the first time? It allows us to look and to say, what needs are around us that God is inviting us to respond to and to serve and to minister to and to put the love of Jesus Christ into action? When we exist with an attitude of abundance because God keeps providing and God continues to send in the funding that we need, it allows us to ask, what do we need to do to our staffing in order to be able to serve and minister as effectively as possible? It allows us to function with an attitude that asks, how can we continue to grow? And so this isn't a number that we get to go, all right, we're doing okay, and step off the gas. This is a number that should challenge us and encourage us to continue to move forward in the faith that as God has led us so far, God is going to continue to lead us into the future and continue to put opportunities in front of us, continue to open doors for us to serve our community. Unless you think that that's just money that we're just sitting on, should also point out that another number that Scott shared with us on Monday night, if we swap a few of those, was $14,095, which is the amount to this point in the fiscal year, halfway through the year, that we have shared through our benevolence fund to meet needs in our community. $14,000 halfway through the year. You know what I would love to see? I would love to see us give out by the end of the year, at the end of June, not just 28,000. Let's not just double that. What if we could hit 30,000? What if we could give out 35,000? What if we could give out $40,000 in benevolent need to families who need the help? Friends, God keeps on putting people in front of us who need to see and experience the love of Jesus Christ. God keeps on opening doors for us to step out in faith and trust that He has worked so faithfully so far, and He is going to continue to lead us faithfully into the future. Let's think about the number 28. 28 is the number of Kids Hope students that we currently have paired with a mentor at Shawmut Hills Elementary. Because of that 28, that means that it's also 28 hours each week that our church is invested in Shawmut Hills Elementary. That's 28 hours each week that we are there in that school making a difference in the lives of students. That's 28 hours each week that are leading to a partnership that has allowed us to invite the families from Shawmut Hills Elementary to come to Wednesday night dinners, to come to the Feeding America Food Pantry, to come to GEMS and Cadets. But if we think about the number 28, we should also think about the number 9. Because 9 is the number of kids who are still on the waiting list. 9 is the number of kids who find Sue in the hallway and say to her, "Miss Sue, have you found me a mentor yet?" Imagine what happens if that number starts to go down. If there was one less student who needed a mentor. One less student stopping Sue in the hallway to say, "Miss Sue, have you found somebody yet?" One less family who doesn't have a relationship to our church yet. If there was one less family in our community who needed food in their pantry. One less family in our community who didn't know the difference that God is making in our community through our church. One less girl who had never been invited to GEMS. One less boy who had never been invited to Cadets. One less family who had never been invited to worship with us at West End. What if that number reached 0? What if there was nobody in our community who didn't know the love of Jesus Christ as put into action by this church? What if there was nobody in this community who didn't know that Jesus loves them and embraces them and welcomes them and forgives them and offers them eternal life? What if that number was 0 of the number of families who didn't have enough food to make it through the week? What if the number was 0 of the number of families who couldn't make ends meet in order to provide the money for bills and rent? What if that number was 0? Well, I suspect that what God could do with that would be endless. But if we're going to think about 0, we should go back to 1. Because it turns out that 1 is also the number of people for whom each one of us has the ability to decide how we are going to respond to the love of Jesus. Sure, you can sign your spouse up for something. Generally not a great idea. But ultimately, each one of us can only decide for ourselves what we are going to do with what God is doing in our community. Each one of us can only decide for ourselves what we are going to do to participate in the work that God is doing here on the west side of Grand Rapids through West End Church. Because it turns out that number 1 is also a great number for other ways that we can step up and join what God is doing. Because it takes 1 hour a week to be a Kids Hope mentor. Or 1 hour every 6 weeks to be a part of the children's ministry team. Or 1 hour every other week to serve food for a Feeding America mobile food, to serve food at a West End Wednesday, or 1 hour every other month, Lord willing, soon to be every month, for a Feeding America mobile food pantry. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Friends, God is doing amazing, amazing things in and through this church. The impact of what happens when we put the love of Jesus Christ into action is immeasurable. But numbers begin to get at the story. But of course, we remember that number zero one more time. Because zero is also the number of us who can make ourselves right with God on our own. Zero is the number of us who can fix ourselves and bring ourselves into the presence of a holy God on our own effort. Zero is the number of us who can make our way through this broken, fallen world without the support and love and encouragement of our church, the body of people who have experienced the love of Jesus Christ and are putting it into practice. None of us, zero, can save ourselves and make ourselves right with God. There's one way to heaven. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Savior who was born in a manger in Bethlehem. One Savior who, when we could not make a way to God, opened the way for us. One Messiah who on the night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And that one Jesus, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Drink this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes again. And we are reminded of the one story of salvation, that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we be filled with the desire to see the needs in our community met. May we be filled with the passion to put the love of your Son, our Savior, into action. May we be filled with the desire to be unified as one body of people who have experienced the grace and love of Jesus Christ, who have received the forgiveness that you offer to us, and now celebrate that together. God, as this bread has been gathered from many grains into one loaf, and as this cup from many vines into one cup, so too, God, may we be one body, through our one Lord, our one Savior, Jesus Christ. And we all say together,